As an aspiring solopreneur or new business owner, you might wonder if it's necessary to focus on communication and public relations, especially if you have a small or even non-existent marketing budget. The answer is that it's absolutely necessary. From compelling press releases to creative service descriptions, from engaging emails to important info sharing, communication is the foundation of running a successful company, regardless of size. Whether you're just starting out or looking to level up your game, there's one secret weapon you and your business cannot afford to ignore: communications. Stay tuned, friend, for a backstage pass to what is sure to be an insightful conversation with communications and public relations expert and entrepreneur, Jamie Levin. Jamie will share her insider knowledge, tips, and easy DIY tactics to help you stand out from the competition, captivate your audience, and grow your business.
Welcome to Sticky Brand Lab, where we bridge the gap between knowledge and action by providing you with helpful information, tips, and tools from entrepreneurs and other experts so you can quickly and easily jumpstart your side business. We're your hosts. I'm Lori Vida, and this is my co-host, Nola Boyer. Hi, Nola.
Hey, Lori.
Hey, Nola, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. As a business owner yourself and as a former copywriter, what has been your experience with communication and PR?
I've had my hand in almost every type of business communication. I will say that actual PR has been decades since I've done like real PR strategic stuff. I mean, I certainly have written the odd press release here and there, but I'm excited about today's conversation. I have a question for you. What would you say are some misconceptions that people have, especially small business owners, when it comes to either business communication or PR?
I think the fact that they believe they don't need it, especially if they're just getting started, whether you have a small budget or you're a one-person show, I think the idea is communications is for big companies, PR is for people with big budgets that can spend a lot of money. And I don't think people really realize communication is about getting the word out about your business.
Yes. And I think we're going to bust that myth wide open today, right? Because our guest today works with entrepreneurs at small and mid-sized companies and nonprofits. And she knows a lot about this topic, especially the good, the bad, and the horrifically misguided. Meet Jamie Levin, a communications expert and visionary with over 15 years of experience. As the founder and CEO of J. Levin Communications, Jamie is an expert when it comes to navigating the intricacies of internal and external communications, events, community engagement, and public relations. She excels at fostering collaboration, supporting business goals, and bringing ideas to life. Jamie's a master at identifying engagement opportunities and directing cross-functional projects. As a creative, analytical thinker, she is skilled in business building and problem solving. Her true superpower may well be in communications, where she is exceptional at transforming strategy into an agenda that directly connects with business objectives. Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks for having me, and what an intro. I mean, that's my elevator pitch right there. What more do I need?
Then great. We're off to a great start for PR.
We are.
Indeed.
Before we get into the specific techniques for creating attention-grabbing PR and exceptional communication, could you give us your own backstory, your journey into entrepreneurship, and what led you to start your own business?
I think what led me to start my own business has been what's led me my whole life, to be honest, which is what's next? What do I really want to do with my life even nearly 20 years later into my career? I was an athlete my whole life, went to University of Maryland for communications, and I was like, oh, I'm going to be a sports broadcaster. Interned with one. It's not so glorious unless you're the anchor, in my humble opinion. Scratch that off my list. Interned at the Baltimore Sun. I was like, oh, I'm going to be a sports reporter. Scratch that off my list. Yeah, I can do a year of graduate school. So I went to graduate school at American University, focused in health communication. I was right in D.C. Didn't stay in D.C. Went to New York City, where I worked at a very large worldwide public relations agency and loved every second of it. Worked a ton, but I'm one of those people who needs to feel needed. So I was fine with the work. I was living in New York City by myself and so threw myself into work completely. from New York City, moved to Florida, where I worked for the Latin Builders Association, which is the largest Hispanic construction association in the United States, where I was their PR manager. And then was like, oh, they need an editor of their magazine. I'll handle that. So I oversaw everything from advertising and sales to circulation, distribution, design, editorial, all that fun stuff. And then I went internal, focused on internal communications at AutoNation, had an amazing team, amazing leadership, learned a lot, was involved in some really major projects, traveled a ton, which was fun pre-children. And then I worked at TBC Corporation, where I oversaw all internal and external communications, travel and events, and corporate giving, and really got to build my own team, which was amazing. They were solid, they were hungry, and it was really fun. And then I realized my kids needed a little bit more of my attention, so I backpedaled a bit, worked back in agency life, and then said, why am I doing this for someone else when I know I'm going to work just as hard for myself? March 2022, I opened J11 Communications, and here we are, late 2023, and I'm still really happy doing it, building business still, wishing I could find more than 24 hours in a day, but loving every second of it.
Woohoo!
I love how excited you got in telling your story. Did you stop working for the agency and immediately just start your own company? Or did you have a transition into doing it on the side and then moving up?
I had a transition, and my commitment to myself and my husband, who was extremely supportive, was I need to have one steady client that I know will give me 30 hours a month to be able to jump. So I was like, let me just find that one client that's not crazy deadline driven, because I know then I can still dabble a bit. And after a month of doing it, I was like, I'm ready, I'm good. And then after that month, I jumped. It wasn't long, but I just needed that one comfort. And I think it was a confidence builder too, because I was like, I got this, like, I'm good. So at least I knew I had some dollars coming in the door. It wasn't grandiose or crazy, but it was something. And I knew that I had worked with enough amazing people that between word of mouth and just conversations and not so much business development, but preying on the fact that people would remember me and find me, I'd be fine. And thankfully, I'm fine.
That is a great story, though, because you figured out what you needed in order to make that jump. But one of the other things people struggle with is, who is their target audience? Can you tell us, how did you decide who you wanted to work with?
I would say my past experiences really guided me. So I've worked with some amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with some horrible people. I won't say the word, but I have a no a-hole policy.
Yes.
I want to enjoy the people that I'm working for. Because at the end of the day, my job, if I'm handling their PR, is to get their brand out there. So I have to want to do it. And I want to do that for nice people, for people who are doing good in the world, for people whose morals and values align with mine. People are people, but clients are clients at the end of the day, right? And just like they can choose to work with me, I can choose to work with them. And I'm extremely fortunate that I found myself in that situation, right? Please, I know I am blessed every day, and I say it often, that I found myself in that situation. But I really think that because my husband was extremely supportive, that I didn't have to just take work because it was there. But I didn't have to settle. And that was a really nice feeling. And so I think that helped me get off on the right foot. And also is one of the reasons why I'm so happy doing what I'm doing, because I haven't settled. And I've been fortunate not to have to take a client just because. So I'm lucky.
You are.
Well, that's called good boundaries. So good for you. I'd like to ask a basic question here. When it comes to communication, especially business communication and PR, these topics can mean very different things to different people, especially to entrepreneurs. So can you share your definition of internal communications, external communications, public relations? Can you explain what those mean, especially in the context of a new or aspiring business owner?
Internal communications, to your point, can really run the spectrum. So you can be overseeing an internal newsletter for a company of people who have an extremely wide geographic footprint and 99% of the time are never together, And so you use your internal communications to align to strategy, remind people why they do what they do, express appreciation to team members, give them updates so they feel like they're a part of the bigger picture. It's all about storytelling, whether it's written, verbal, a video, nonverbal, too. Look, it could be a team of five, but making team members feel like they're a part of something bigger and they're proud of the company to work for.
If you are a business owner, but you contract with different people or you use an aggregate kind of situation to find people, is internal communication still as important because they're not your employee, but they are doing some contract work for you or maybe even some freelance work for you? Do you need internal communication? And in a situation like that, how do you communicate what your business is all about so they can really do the best work for you?
Yes, because company A has hired the contractor essentially to be an extension of their team. So I do think it's really important because at the end of the day, while they may not be an employee, they need to also feel like what they're doing is of value and what they're doing is aligning with the strategic vision for the organization. And so the more that person knows, the better off the company is going to be in the long run because they're going to be able to help more. External communications, I align with the term public relations. So it's media outreach, whether it's good or bad, because there's also crisis communications that you can't plan for, but you have to be prepared for. The positive things, the stories that you do get to control, whether you're giving back to the community or you're highlighting a team who did awesome work or you're having a grand opening, that all goes hand in hand. But there's this other side of it that people, I think, are now starting to realize, which is you can even be your own author from a public relations perspective. Because the world of news has changed so much, and unfortunately, stations and newsrooms are so small. We've all heard the news stories. They're actually looking for subject matter experts to provide content. This isn't an interview. This is, I'm a finance company, and my goal is talking to people about retirement, and this publication is looking for someone to talk about it. So now I get to author my own column and write anything I want, essentially. Yes, they review it, but you get to control your message. That's branding at its finest.
Well, you seem really knowledgeable. And so I am super curious to know, how did you get the word out about your business when you were starting your company? What's your story about that?
It took me about 6 months to feel like I had to do something credible and create a website. I'm not on Google listings. Like, I wasn't doing it to be found, if right. you will. How I got the word out, I just posted something on LinkedIn. It wasn't like an open for business post. It was just like, I'm doing it. Here I am. And I talked to people. I was really blessed to have some really good working relationships that turned into friendships. I opened my mouth and just said, hey, what are you guys up to? This is what I'm doing these days. And because I've worked with so many wonderful people and established really good relationships, and I respect them and they respect me, they were able to come to me and say, hey, I have this person who wants this. Would you be able to help them? And I was honest with them, yes or no. Or, hey, my company's looking for some help just for a few things. Could you help us get off the ground? For me, it really was word of mouth.
Wow, that really worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm lucky.
And I think you recognized opportunity. One of the things that people just starting out in business do is they get very focused on selling or pushing. It's all about me. And it sounds like you were using that. Can I help you in any way? Here's something that's happening. If I can be of help, let me know. I'm glad to do so. So it wasn't a push. It was more an invitation or a pull in, it sounds like.
Yeah. And I think also because I'm not focused on any one industry, I run the gamut, which is also why it's so exciting.
So given that you have a breadth and depth of knowledge, what can entrepreneurs who are either just starting out or pretty new to the business world do to get the word out?
I would say it doesn't take money, but it definitely takes time. And time is money for a lot of people. And so that is not lost on me. But I would say one of the first things is determining what really is going to help you. So if you're a company that can only serve your 20-mile radius, then you're not going to try to go after a national publication for coverage because it doesn't make sense if you can only deliver to a 20-mile radius. If your goal is, hey, I want everybody in this 20-mile radius to know about me, then look up publications in that 20-mile radius. Look up news stations or newspapers or even chambers, because if you're a member of a chamber, many of them have newsletters, many of them have places where you can post news, and everybody's looking for business. So there's another side of networking. And again, it takes time. Yes, there are platforms where you can find every reporter's name, and yes, you have to pay for them. But there's also the good old Google, where you can say, hey, I want to know who's the sports reporter for WPTV. And you can find that. It takes time. And then you reach out to them and you write a personalized email. Not a BCC mass crazy email, because everybody knows what that is these days. But taking the time to find the right people who you could connect with and who it will benefit your organization the most to get coverage in that area, I think is a really good place to start. The resources and the tools to find people are all free and available, but it does take time.
Whether somebody has a small budget or even a large budget, and they want to generate PR, should they be thinking about a strategy that organizes it? Here's where you begin. Here's what you do next. Are there things that you should prioritize? What is your suggestions there?
Yeah, I think you prioritize what aligns with your goal. If your goal is reaching your local community, there's no reason, if you're in Maryland, to talk to a publication in California, even if they're interested in speaking with you. Although if you're using it for purposes of SEO and you do things correctly and post it to your website and post it on social media and then drive people to your website, there might be value for you there. So it's also not just getting that hit, but what do you do with it after? Because that's all under your control and it takes time. Putting it on your website takes time. Drafting a social media post takes time. But that call to action to drive website traffic is huge. And then also, how are you maintaining that relationship with that reporter after the fact? So now you want to be their subject matter expert in that area. It's a relationship. It goes both ways, right? Reporters get in binds too and need help. That's really important. It's just like you would in a sales environment, right? It's how do you nurture that relationship after the fact? And no, they're not going to go to you for every single story they're writing. So don't be offended, please, because they also need an encyclopedia of sources. But it doesn't mean that you can't be there for them when they need you, just like they were there for you when you needed them.
I love that. What do you do after you've made the connection? We often hear people put stuff out there and then do nothing at all to maintain it, to build upon it, nothing. So great point there.
Yeah, they got that sexy circulation number. 5 million people saw it. Okay, right? And then they're done. 5 more million people could see it. So why don't you double your numbers?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that website. It's Help a Reporter Out. Have you used that, or are there other sites like that, and are they pretty useful?
There are. You can go the free version, which again can definitely work, or there's subscription-based versions that make sense for some people. They're great for reactive purposes, not so much the proactive, but because someone is specifically looking for a story on X. And that's the other thing is you can have like canned pitches in your back pocket, taking the time to craft pitches. You can just say, so-and-so is available to speak to XYZ and bullet out 3 topics.
Now, switching gears from PR to general business communications, in your experience, what are some common mistakes that inexperienced companies or people starting out make when it comes to business communications?
The power of perspective is a very important thing. Just really consider your target audience, I would say, is number one. Regardless of what company it is, what size it is, or who it is. Audience is always first. And I also like to have somebody else read it, not on my team, because it's typical that if we're on the same team, we might have the same perspective. So it's really valuable to have those trusted people who you can go to and be like, hey, do you mind reading this? And don't prompt them by saying, this is how I'm a little unsure of it, but maybe after ask them some probing questions. I just want to make sure it's not going to be misinterpreted, because we all know you send an email and you think it was super nice and someone reads it and they're like, oh, that was really mean. Like
yes.
Interpretation is everything. And also, how does that audience like to receive their news? Not everybody wants to receive an email. And if you think about it, not everybody, I know this seems odd in today's world, but not everybody has an email. So what other ways can you reach people besides just being like, oh, if we send an email, we know 50,000 people might read it. You can push a voicemail. Do they like video? Do they like a message on their cell phone? Do you have a private YouTube channel? And I didn't even name half of them, right? Do you have a podcast like I know you guys do for some companies? Do you have a blog? Do you have your own social media platform? Posters in the break room, right? Like you can even go back to the old ages. There are umpteen million ways, but people like to receive news differently. And so no, not everybody's going to read your email. So you might have to do multiple channels also.
Very cool.
I love those tips. Know your target audience. Yeah. Have somebody read it first and get some feedback and think about how target audience likes to receive news. So if someone is on a budget who's starting their company or it's still small and they just want to maybe expand it and get the word out, how would they benefit from working with a communications consultant?
Yeah, I think it's all about guidance. That client has that business because they're an expert in that arena. Just like I don't do what they do for a reason, they don't do what I do for a reason. And so it's not necessarily like you need a PR person to do X for you every single month in order to get results. No, you can also have a jumping off point with a communications consultant where they'll help you come up with a big picture strategy and ways to get you media coverage, if it's media coverage that you want, or helping you get emails off the ground and ideas, but they're not actually the ones putting it in motion. And so if you're looking to be mindful of budget, there's nothing wrong with reaching out to someone and saying, hey, are you up for doing a playbook, if you will, or a guide for these three areas I'm trying to focus on, but I want to be the one to really implement it. And look, some people will be honest and tell you no, and that's fine. But you'll find someone eventually who will tell you yes, because they know that it takes time and there is an art to it. If somebody has that time and they're willing to try it on their own, there's value in it. And super side note, a lot of times those people do come over because they just get fed up. So that's a
risk. It's hard.
Yeah, but some people end up enjoying it. There's nothing like getting a major media hit. It is instant gratification. You're like, oh, I can't wait to tell someone. So I do think there's also that guidance side of it. I can tell you what to write about for the column once we secure it. Some clients will ask me to actually write the column, and that's fine. I'm happy to do it. Some clients would rather do it on their own and save the money, and that's also fine. So I think the right PR partners will be honest and upfront with you about what are they willing to do and how are they willing to help you. And look, on X month, it might be different than the next. But if your goals align, then I think you can make it work and figure out. I mean, budget's normally one of the first questions I talk about, simply because part of my job is to make sure that whether you're small or a large company, that I'm not expecting you to pay me more than you're thinking about. Transparency at its finest.
For those who may be listening and want to work with an expert, what should they be looking for when selecting or interviewing a communication and PR consultant?
I think so much of it is about personality and just a little bit of creativity, because you're not going to get media attention if you do things the way everybody else does it, because it doesn't set you apart. So if you feel like you're having that first conversation with someone and you're like, wah, wah, then no, walk away. It's just not the right thing and you're wasting everybody's time. And it's okay. It's also okay to work with someone for 3 months and then just say, I'm not sure this is the best working relationship. That's okay too. Responsiveness is huge, right? Because in the world of PR, you should be available. I hate to say it, 24/7. Yes, it's really true. And yes, I do sleep with my phone right next to my bed. I know it's PR, not ER, but it's just my nature too. Does someone seem excited about your product or your specialty or your area when you're speaking to them? If you feel like you're just a dollar sign and they're just going on that hamster wheel, I'd say walk and spend a little bit more time trying to find the right person. For me, so much of it goes back to word of mouth. You trust people. That's what relationships should be built off of. So talk to people and say, hey, have you worked with someone? And hey, in the world that we live in right now, it doesn't matter if you're in Timbuktu or Florida. You don't have to be in the same state. You don't have to ever meet face to face. I have clients in Canada. I think that's important also, is don't just look in your little bubble, but also be mindful that there's small, medium, and large budgets, and there's small, medium, and large firms. And just because they're small doesn't mean they don't have the same reach as a large firm does. They may not have the same depth. They may not have the clinical side and the social media side and the one size fits all, but you might not be looking for that either. I think really knowing what you're looking for, but being open to trying new things at the same time is also important and will help guide you in the right direction.
I want to ask you, what, if any, is the most creative or wildest thing that you've ever done on behalf of a client to get the word out?
I can talk about the wildest topic I had to pitch. That's one that comes to mind immediately.
Sure.
Are you ready for this? Feline urinary incontinence.
Well, Nolan has a cat, so.
So you said, there's a challenge and I am up to it. Wow.
On behalf of a very well-known brand, and it was many years ago when I was in New York, but I was just like, when my boss told me that, I laughed to the point where like I snorted because I wasn't really sure what to do. And she was like, you said you're up for a challenge. I'm like, challenge accepted.
Let's go.
That one will always stick out in my mind because there was also like a lot of education on my end to really be well-versed in the topic. I will say though that I did have the opportunity to really, during COVID, say thank you to a lot of people. And that was a unique opportunity. During Nurse Appreciation Week, when I was at TBC Corporation and on behalf of Tire Kingdom, we partnered with a local IC truck and we went to the hospital and just said, thank you. Come outside and have an IC on us. And yes, we got media coverage. That's not the reason we did it. But I will also say that from a PR perspective, it was really good for a reputation management with all the people at the hospital. They were working so hard and such long hours. And just like getting to take a break and walk outside for a second and get like something cold was so meaningful. And just, I don't know, a simple thank you goes a long way. So I think that was probably one of the most meaningful things that I've done recently.
I think how you say thank you can have a memorable impact. And what a great reminder for people. That is part of communications.
Yeah.
So Jamie, earlier, I applauded you for drawing a boundary. We know that running a business and a family and juggling everything can be really challenging to prioritize self-care. So my question is, in addition to paying attention to who you want to work with and that you do things you enjoy, what are some other ways that you actually practice self-care?
It's all about family with me. Both my boys play travel soccer and they are so fun to watch. And while I'm there 10 months out of the year, there's honestly nowhere else I'd rather be. I'm that loud mom screaming on the sidelines. You can hear me from fields over. But that's my happy place and that's their happy place. To me, that's a lot of my balance. And yes, people may say, oh, you don't have any balance. Some days you work at 4:30 in the morning. 100%, you're correct. But you know why I work at 4:30 in the morning? So I can go pick up my kids at 4 o'clock instead of 5:45 and they can come home before practice and I get that time with them. So I think balance really means something different for everyone. When I didn't have a broken foot, balance also meant working out. Right now, I'm taking a break for it. But it was a punching bag. I'm a 9-round fan all day, every day. And so that was a great release for me. But I also think it's just so powerful and so gratifying to be able to be like, I'm going to walk away from this for a few minutes. When I worked for someone else, it wasn't an option. But now really empowering to be able to be like, I just need to step away for a little while and go for a walk or walk my dog, who bless my heart is my colleague and she's amazing. For me, it's finding those ways to just breathe and reconnect with the most important things in life. That I will tell you, for a very long time, I may have been physically present, but I was never mentally there. I had a computer on the soccer field. It's just how I'm wired, but I've been able to go backwards a little bit. And I will tell you, life is so much more fulfilling.
We have one final question for you. Tell us, what does living a vibrant life mean to you?
That all the people I love in the world are healthy and happy, because I don't care how much money I make. Nothing matters if I'm not healthy and they're not healthy or they're not happy.
Aww.
For many years, I said it and I don't know that I meant it, to be quite honest, but I mean it. And I put it out into the universe. It's the secret. And I will sing it from the rooftops. Because if my family and the people, my close friends, the people that I really care about aren't happy or healthy, then I'm not happy or healthy. And that's all that really matters.
Thank you, Jamie, for being our guest today. We are sure that your knowledge and experience, along with your real-world tips and suggestions, will inspire and motivate ambitious and aspiring business owners to try their hand at PR, or at the very least, consult with an expert like yourself. Before you go, how can listeners get in touch with you? Where should they go if they want to learn more about you and your services?
LinkedIn, feel free to send me a message, Jamie Levin, or my website. There's a contact me form. It's jlevincommunications.com. I will get whatever email you send me through there, and I am way too responsive. So you do not have to wait 2 business days. There's no disclaimer that it will take 2 business days to get back to you. It will probably take about 15 minutes with that long. I'm distracted by the email sometimes.
Listener, we hope the ideas and thoughts shared here today have sparked your interest and motivation for you to try your hand at DIY business communications and PR so you can reap the benefits of becoming a first-time entrepreneur in the second half of your vibrant life. And be sure to stick around to the very end of the podcast for a fun chuckle.
If you found the information we've shared helpful and want more tools, tips, and inspiration delivered to your inbox, sign up for news you can use over on our website, stickybrandlab.com, or click the link in our show notes. And remember, small steps, big effects.
As an aspiring solopreneur or new business owner, you might wonder if it's necessary. Okay, tip-a-pa. Retake already.